This segment is brought to you by Matt Bates from Movement Mortgage, NMLS number 844154. Movement Mortgage supports equal housing opportunity, NMLS number 39179, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
Hey, welcome to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is your show all about real estate. So we're going to talk about quite a bit today. We've got quite the lineup, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. So if you ever have any questions at all, please give us a shout anytime. 401-359-2338, any and all real estate questions. We cover Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, but we can recommend you to real estate professionals all over the globe, 33 different countries through our vast network here at Engel & Volkers. And we have locations in East Greenwich and Barrington East Bay, right in Warren, okay? All right, good stuff. So today I'd like to present Matt Bates of Movement Mortgage. Matt is one of the top loan originators in the entire state of Rhode Island and the entire region. Him and I have been working together for about a decade now. Okay, Matt has done a personal mortgage or two for me, and is just a great guy. Just had a baby as well. Him and his beautiful wife Liz just had a baby boy, and just a fantastic guy. So Matt, happy to have you back on the program today.
Yeah, happy to be here. Hello, everybody. It's been a couple of short months, but we're back, baby.
Hey man, you know, you're having a baby, so things happen, right? So good stuff. You get a healthy boy. God bless you guys. So Matt, top five things that you should do before going into open houses this weekend. Things are moving again. And especially in the entry price ranges, you know, going all the way up to about 600,000, stuff is still hauling in the Rhode Island, Mass, and Connecticut markets. What are the top five things that people should do before going into those opens?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So the major point that I'm gonna get across with this this topic is more than ever, I now know time is very valuable with busy schedules and families and things to do on the weekend. So this is a way to a couple of things to think about, so that way we're getting things done, we're getting being efficient. You know, you're not 9 times out of 10, 9.5 times out of 10, the first open house that you go to is not the first house, is not the house that you'll buy, right? as a home buyer, especially a first time home buyer. There's so many different types of houses out there, there's so many different areas to look at. Mm-hmm. So what homework can a homeowner do before actually, like, you know, really going full force after a particular home? And that's number one is to do a drive-by and check it out. Not only are you doing a drive-by to check out the house, but you're also doing a drive-by to check out the commute to work, the path that a particular family would take to bring their kids to school, or where's the home in relation to the supermarket or the bank or a lot of these frequently visited spots that, you know, sometimes if you're looking at a home in the sticks, as they say, you might not like the fact that you might have to take a half hour drive to the supermarket every day. You'll find that out with a drive-by. And therefore, you might not require needing to see the inside of the house with a private showing, or figure out any of the, you know, whether you qualify for the loan or not, because simply just by doing a drive-by, you eliminated that from, or yes, this house is starting to check a lot of these boxes, and now it's time to really dive into the interior of the home. So you can do the drive-bys by yourself. You don't need real estate professionals and mortgage people. You can just have a quick joyride to buy the house. The next thing is to check out any other open houses that might be comparable in the neighborhood, to get an idea of whether the one that you're really interested in is priced right, or priced off because of some of the other features another home has. And while you're spending the time on the weekend to really dive into purchasing a home and the shopping experience, why not check out a couple, a handful of houses? Great. You're in that zone. You're asking those questions. It's really a good time for a couple of them if they're available and they're open to go check out. Mm-hmm. The next point is check with the lender, because I'm sure you've seen it, Emilio, with your day-to-day, is that the rates are changing. There's always something to update the customer on, regardless of how much time has passed since they've initially got pre-approved. Whether that's rates went up or rates went down, maybe a new loan product, maybe there's a product change. One example is, especially for first-time home buyers, is Rhode Island Housing was giving out a $17,500 first-time home buyer grant that was not refundable and could be used for down payment assistance. But that no longer is available because that money got dispersed. So if you were pre-approved, banking on getting that type of loan, check in with your lender because that's not a, there's other loans that are similar, but that's not exactly what is available at the moment, and you might
Agreed.
want to know that before going into a particular house, especially if it's at the top of your budget.
Agreed. Yeah, well said. That's right.
Some other things that will that go coincide with having that conversation with the lender is updated payment information, but also, is there something with that particular house that might be an abnormal expense like flood insurance or just a high-end homeowners insurance premium because of the location of the home that doesn't really fit into the box that you've set for yourself, but you really like the house? So is this going to throw us way off the mark, or is this a manageable expense? Talking to your real estate team will be able to get down to that details and like really concentrate on that before, you know, we're in the 11th hour of the process, and then getting bad news that your payment went up a couple hundred dollars because of something that could have been foreseen from the beginning. You know,
Yeah, correct.
that's a big one.
Seen it happen.
And then, you know, ask the question to your real estate team: am I ready to make an offer to make this happen? You know, have I provided what I needed to in order to make a really strong offer on this house? Make sure there's no missing documentation with the application for the mortgage. Make sure that you have your deposit money ready. You know, this is where things start to get really heat up a little bit, and you've done the previous four advice. You know, this is what comes next. It's like, am I ready? Are we ready to do this? Is the real estate agent available and ready? Has the real estate agent had their chance to do their check up on the houses and run comparables and stuff? You know, it's okay as the customer. We work for them. Like, hey, are you guys ready to help me do this or not? And if there is something that's outstanding, let's take care of it. If not, then you know you're ready to rock and roll. I think something that resonates with everybody that I often say is be ready to be special. Because you have a lot of you have a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of buyers that want the house, especially if you're looking at, you got nice style, nice you know, nice what do you call it? What I'm trying to say here, you got
Good taste. You got
good taste.
expensive
Yes,
taste.
exactly. Yeah, you got good taste. So does everybody else. So there's gonna be other people that are gonna want that same house. How are you going to stand out? How are you gonna be special? What is special and what stands out about your offer? Because that's what it's gonna take, is something a little special.
That those turnkey houses, Matt, especially again under 600,000 for the most part across the state, across Rhode Island for sure, moving. So you need to go in and you need to separate yourself from the crowd. I agree with that. Those are some fantastic tips.
Sometimes it's not about price, sometimes it's about just the terms of the offer.
It's about appearance.
It's about appearance, about pr being prepared, which is what in an effort of what we're trying to get across today is be prepared. Do your drive-bys, ask your real estate team if you're ready to rock and roll, get situated with updated numbers, and all of that translates very well, and it is very well received by the people that you want to negotiate with. You know, this customer really wants this house. Working with Matt, he's ready to rock and roll. Working with Emilio, he's on the ball. He's done his comps. Like, let's do this. Like, we're working as a team together, and you'd be surprised at how apparent it is when you're not prepared, and you get missed. You know, they miss you with that.
Oh yeah, that could definitely happen. Good stuff. And listen, if you have any questions at all in regards to the mortgage, or maybe you purchased when the rates were 8.5%, maybe you want to refinance too. You're gonna want to talk with Matt Bates over at Movement Mortgage, and you can reach him anytime at 401-266-4416. He's licensed in Connecticut, Florida, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island, and Movement has the ability to write pretty much anywhere in the United States, which is fantastic. So if you're relocating, we got a great team here for you between Movement and Engel and Volkers. We can go ahead and recommend you to literally anywhere in the country, and we can help you out anywhere across the globe. So good stuff. Again, any questions for Matt Bates of Movement Mortgage, give him a shout, 401-266-4416. You could text him there too. That's his cell phone. Matt, thanks for jumping on with us. Appreciate you.
I'm glad to be here. I hope to see you guys soon. Have a great day and weekend, and happy shopping out there.
You too, man. Hey, enjoy. Oh, and Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, right? Right.
Happy Mom's
Happy
Day.
Mother's Day on Happy Mother's Day Liz, to your wife, Liz, the RIMortgageGuy.com. It's a great guy. Check him out, the RIMortgageGuy.com. This segment has been powered by Matt Bates of Movement Mortgage. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a couple of moments here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. Okay, welcome back to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. We're here with you each and every week talking about our favorite subject, and most likely yours too, and that's real estate. There's so much you can do with real estate. You can, build wealth, you can build a legacy, you can help a lot of people out. And that's why we bring on the people that we bring, top-tier individuals and companies who provide services in the real estate space. And today we've got Mark Hugo with us today. Now, he's with Keystone Consulting Group. He's the vice president. He's the big dog over there. And let me tell you something. Mark has quite the background, and he handles commercial real estate evaluation. And basically, right, basically, he was born and raised near Boston, right, near that big city. And Mark brings a wealth of experience as a commercial real estate appraiser. He's got a bachelor's degree in hospitality and tourism management, which gives him a unique lens at the real estate space, right? And Mark's journey led him to manage hotels and restaurants before diving into the world of real estate appraisals. Now, as the VP of Keystone, Mark specializes in guiding investors of all sizes, offering insights on maximizing returns and navigating complex markets. Join us as Mark shares his experience in commercial real estate appraisal and investment strategies. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Millie. I'm very happy to be here with you.
You're welcome. And I see that you are an alum of UMass Amherst as well, ZUMass,
Yes.
right? Fantastic. I'm actually originally from Western Massachusetts,
Oh,
so
no way. That's
beautiful
awesome.
out in the Berkshires. Yeah, absolutely. So, Mark, I'm excited to have you on because our listeners oftentimes have questions about commercial real estate, about appraisals, about this and that. And now we've got a fantastic resource. And by the way, listeners, if you have any questions, go ahead and text or call Mark anytime, 508-641-5959. 508-641-5959. He's going to be happy to help you out. So, Mark, let's dive right into it, brother. You've been at this for a while, right? A few years. Could you share a memorable experience from your early days managing hotels and restaurants that shaped your approach as a commercial real estate appraiser?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was younger, I was thrown in to manage a Marriott property that was, to be honest, kind of failing a little bit. They were not doing well. It was in a market that I didn't understand. I didn't know the market. I got sent there. My plan was to go in on a Friday, meet everybody, and then come back on Monday and start. I went in on that Friday, ended up staying for 3 weeks, went out and bought clothes because it was just that backwards. But that really taught me how to dive in and then really research and understand a market and really understand, how each individual market works. And I've been able to transfer that over to the real estate appraisal world where, in each market, there are sub-markets, there are micro markets, there are individual neighborhoods and, sections of neighborhoods. And you know, those really, you know, there needs to be a lot of analysis and the appraisal to really figure that out and to apply that to the appraisal and figure out what the property values are. Because one street over could be completely different than on the next block.
It's not always easy. And there's places where you walk into a neighborhood and there's there and there's nothing else exactly like the building, And we're going to talk about some of your specialties too, because you've appraised some very unique properties and you guys come very, very highly recommended from somebody who I admire very much, Jim Dusty of Gordon Real Estate Appraisal. Jim is the best real estate appraiser as far as residential goes. Okay. And I said, Jim, I want to get connected with the hot shots in commercial. Who is it? And he told me your company. So let me ask you something, Mark. What are some key factors you would consider when appraising unique properties, okay, like commercial solar installations or historic monuments?
So, you know, those are very different, obviously. And to find the value in them, you know, commercial solar, you know, that's really driven by what the property can produce. It doesn't matter really what the neighborhood is, you know, maybe a little bit if there's pushback from neighbors or zoning, things like that. But really, you know, the challenge, you know, there was a historic monument and museum in a very prominent, it was a very prominent property that probably most of your listeners have visited. That was unique because nobody's buying historic monuments. Monuments. I started looking for comps, and you know, typically we like to stay in the neighborhood, sometimes move out to the city, sometimes the county. This time I was looking for comps international. I was looking in Asia and Europe, wasn't coming up with much. So then, you know, with an appraisal, we really like to focus on what is the highest and best use of that property. And in this case, I was really trying to figure out, you know, how can we maximize the value? What is the, you know, the term is maximally productive. You know, how can we do that? So in this case, we looked at the core operation, which was tourism and the museum, figured out, you know, how much money should be made there. Then we looked at the property itself and what could it be used for? This is in an area with high tourism and low parking, very few parking places. So we looked at how to use the property for that, and then also subdividing it, making residential lots based off, you know, without affecting the property itself. And, you know, and other little things too, like, you know, adding short-term rentals. You know, it's a really cool location, so why not? And they have unused buildings. Why not use those for something? So, you know, it's really, you have to get creative sometimes. But I think that we were able to do that, and the report came out. You know, it was pretty interesting. Yeah, that was a cool challenge, Mike. I'll be honest. Like,
you're not comping cookie cutter homes. You're comping, you know, historical monuments and buildings and museums and. It literally is, which is almost like comping art, really. So
yeah.
It's super unique, one of a kind stuff. Sometimes it's not always easy. And that's why I urge our listeners, if you own any commercial properties, and by the way, commercial could be 5+ residential units, right? But if you own a warehouse, a museum, you know, a monument, right? Any of that stuff, literally, like any kind of commercial buildings, Mark Hugo and his team at Keystone Consulting Group can help you out. And he's here with us today to talk about the commercial appraisal process. 508-641-5959. Again, 508-641-5959. This is who we recommend here on the Despirito team to help you out with any commercial appraisal issues or questions or strategy or anything at all. These guys are fantastic. They're going to turn around a report. And it's going to be accurate and it's going to be right. Okay. So Mark, in your opinion, okay, let's talk about the current market. How do the current market conditions impact the valuation of different property types, such as hotels, apartments, and retail spaces?
Well, so most of my work is done in Rhode Island and Southeastern Massachusetts, you know, centered a lot around Providence. markets. And, you know, each market is different, you know, so some things that we're starting to see in, or that we're seeing right now in the commercial world, office space, for instance, I was just looking into this. What we're seeing is office properties are starting to stabilize. They've come back from COVID. They haven't fully returned, but what we're seeing is, you know, with the advent of work from home and all that, vacancy and occupancy, those are starting to stabilize. And those, I think, are going to, they're pretty much where they're going to be. Same thing with rents. The trailing 12 months compared to the previous 12 months, there was only a 0.2% increase in rents. Right now, average office rent for Rhode Island is somewhere around $23.50. It's in that $23 range. Hotels in Providence are doing all right. Some of the the hotels in the other areas that used to benefit from, you know, from sellouts in Providence, you know, for instance, like in the Warwick market, those are still struggling. However, tourism-based hotels, those during COVID did amazing, and they recovered really well, really quickly, and those are still doing. You know, retail is starting to come back. Depends where, depends how much tourism, and you know, yeah. So, retail, industrial has been strong. That proved to be very resilient during COVID, and you know, there's maybe a little bit of an adjustment right now, but still pretty strong. Safe investment. Yeah, you know, things like self storage. Those also do well. That's a little saturated right now. You know, honestly, the best market if you can get into is veterinary, surprisingly.
Wow, really?
Yeah. No, it's, you know, just around, there's, you know, institutional investors are interested in the tiny properties, and they'll pay big bucks for them. So
I thought you said veterinary. Yeah. Like animal space.
Yeah. Animals. Yeah. If you're a veterinarian and you own your small little practice, you know, if you sell that building to, you know, one of the institutional investors, a lot of money. It's surprising, but yeah,
it makes sense. You know, there's a huge push on Wall Street for investing in cat food and cat toys and all that because of the uptick of single women. This is not necessarily a good thing, right? Like, so like, just, you know, not to go off topic over there, but guys, like, That's heavy investment. So that's funny that you say veterinary, right?
It's a booming market, even not even just real estate, but yeah, like you said, you know, products and stuff like that, food, products, toys, like, you know, I think during COVID, a lot of people got pets and
That's true. But wow. I mean, but yeah, there's a huge push. That's no joke. You can read articles about that, all this stuff all over Wall Street. But good stuff. And another quick question for you. Can you discuss any particularly challenging appraisal project you've worked on and how you overcame the obstacles to providing a accurate valuation?
Well, I mean, I think the most challenging was probably that one. But
I figured as soon as I asked them, I was like, it's probably them.
Yeah. but I would say, you know, anytime that there aren't a lot of comps out there, you know, when, you know, recently just with interest rates being what they are, you know, I know this is affecting the residential market, but it's also affecting the commercial market where not a lot of people are selling right now. Not a lot of people are buying, you know, so when there's no comps out there, that makes it very challenging. And that's where, you know, an appraiser has the advantage over somebody looking, you know, just for comps on Zillow to figure out, you know, what the house is worth or something like that. Cause we're constantly talking to brokers and owners, tenants, and other market participants, and trying to overcome those challenges. So, you know, it's sort of a daily battle, but, you know, that's part of the job. So
absolutely,
that's why we're here.
You know, Mark, I'd love to have you come back on. There's several questions I didn't get to ask you because time flies, right?
Absolutely.
Particularly in the low-income housing and tax credit space. Definitely want to pick your brain on that because, you know, I'm seeing some low-income housing, you know, affordable housing, whatnot, pop into communities. And mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of questions involved there. How's it going to, you know, how's it going to impact valuations around? How does that work? How, you know, what are the limitations of it? What's the good? What's the bad? All of that stuff. And, you know, I want to leave our listeners with this real quick. You know, as far, and I know we're talking commercial, but as far as the residential market goes, I mean, you know, I'm a fan of, you know, making sure that people get housing, right? You know, definitely. But we want to learn more about all of these things, because housing in many areas is becoming so unaffordable. I mean, your hardworking first time buyers that are making 100K a year are having a hard time affording a home. Literally, you know, inflation has hit the housing market more than anywhere. And you know, I really want to get down and talk about that and learn more about that. So I know, Mark, you can definitely give us some really great feedback in there. It was great to have you on. And again, if our listeners have any questions at all, Mark Hugo, Keystone Consulting Group. He's the vice president over at KeystoneNE.com, 508-641-5959. Again, 508-641-5959. He can handle all of your commercial real estate valuation and strategic needs. Good stuff. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Emilio. It was great talking to you.
Oh man, great talking with you too. Good stuff. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back here with Melissa Delena of Delena Law. This segment was powered by Keystone Consulting Group. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. We've got a great guest with us, no stranger to the program, the one, the only, Melissa Delena of Delena Law. Melissa's been doing this for about 2 decades now. She's seen quite a bit. And one of the common things that comes up over and over is sellers not being prepared to sell their properties in so many different aspects. So our hope is to get you prepared if you're a seller and if you're getting ready to sell. And Melissa's got some really great insights to share. Again, without further ado, Melissa, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. And thank you everybody for tuning in. So Amelia, we're seeing these common threads of lack of preparedness. And I think that frankly, we're in a really busy spring market. So people are thinking, oh, I'm just going to put my house up and not worry about it. Well, the things that you may have, the skeletons in your closet, are going to come forward. And I'll give you a quick example. I had a client recently, came together very quickly. We had to close in 2 weeks, cash transaction, right? It's a dream. Mm-hmm. So I contacted the client. I said, I need to get your mortgage payoff. And he said, have any liens shown up against the title? That's a red flag. If the client thinks that there's a lien against the title, I need to be aware of it. I said, actually, we don't have the title back yet. Do you expect there to be any liens? Is there anybody you've not paid? Water authority, sewer authority, real estate taxes, the IRS? These things can all come out of the shadows. And I think that a lot of times sellers are hoping that it's not going to show up because they may not want to tell you as their real estate advisor or me as their attorney. But taking the time to have that dialogue when you're first listing the property is so, so critically important, because there are other transactions where we see old creditors. I have one right now. It was a bankruptcy. They thought that the debt was discharged in a bankruptcy, and it's with an old credit card company. Sorry, I'm stumbling. It's so infuriating. It was Capital One. So now we've got to go back to the original credit card company and secure the payoff. This could take 5 or 6 weeks. And the only reason that we even knew about it is because the real estate advisor that was involved in the transaction poked online and said, uh-oh, I think we may have a problem here, Melissa. Can you get in touch with the sellers and do a quick title search? Which, of course, we did on behalf of the sellers before the listing, because this is the kind of preparedness that is going to allow for a smooth transaction opposed to getting the sideswipe later.
Absolutely. Melissa, we see so many people come to the closing, and you're right. Like, they try to avoid, like, oh, I owe the IRS or I owe this or that. But you know what's going to happen is you're setting yourself up for a potential liability, right? Are there any liabilities to a seller withholding information and, you know, outside of course, you know, stalling a transaction? Is there any legal ramifications a buyer could use against them?
Certainly, the purchase and sales agreement prescribes that the seller has to convey clear title, Emilio. So if the seller cannot convey clear title and cannot produce documentation, whether it be mortgage payoffs or discharges, within a reasonable amount of time, ultimately the buyer could terminate the contract, get their deposit back, and move on. So that would be the biggest liability. Mm-hmm. However, there's also the idea that the buyer doesn't want to move on, but now may be facing really big expenses as a result of those delays, you know, carrying costs, rate lock extensions for their mortgage interest rate. We're in a really difficult pricing environment with mortgage interest rates. I have one right now. It was delayed only 1 week due to an unforeseen issue on the seller side, and it costs almost $550. That's a lot of money for a buyer. It's a lot of money for a seller. It's a lot of money for anybody. And that's only a week. So as a seller, if you're upfront and forthcoming about this information, I think it will benefit you so that hopefully you can avoid those delays and the costs associated with that.
100%. I mean, there's so many things that go into it, especially for buyers, right? And buyers, they're paying inspections, they're paying appraisal, and inspections, by the way, can go anywhere from, you know, $250 for just a septic inspection all the way to $2,000-$3,000 if you do the full works, you know? And it's sad. And, you know, Melissa, I've had situations where, you know, I've represented the sellers and I tried to paint that picture and just say, listen, like, we got to get this stuff in order. Buyers are coming in and they're spending a lot of money and they're, you know, it's going to be a problem down the road. Who are you representing, Emilio? Me or the buyers? No, you. I'm working to give you, to set your expectations to make this thing smooth. Sometimes working and educating the public, and I know you see it too, for the most part is amazing. It's easy. But then there's those situations where we now become the enemy for trying to pull out information. But that's just not it. They are contractually, you are contractually obligated to do the right thing there. Melissa, a thing I see a lot of sellers get snagged on, okay, is if they have a property in an LLC or, you know, a corporation or something, right? Can you talk about the letter of good standing and how that can cause a darn snag here in Rhode Island?
Yeah, I mean, so if you own a property with any kind of complications, be it a trust or an entity structure like you're mentioning, or with joint owners even, you know, you may not be thinking, oh, I need to get all the parties involved for signature, but yes, you do. And again, this is what a good title is going to reveal. But at that point, it's kind of midway in the transaction. Specific to entities, if it is an entity that is selling the majority of its assets, meaning that's the only property it owns, you actually have to give a special notice to the state of Rhode Island 5 days in advance. Additionally, you have to have a letter of good standing from the Secretary of State, which frankly, Emilio, there's plenty of my clients who have unfortunately let their LLC or entity status lapse. So now they have to go forward and reinstate it, which is an entire process. And it's not, unfortunately, a timely one. So it's likely going to create delays. Depending on how the entity is taxed, it may also require a letter of good standing from the Division of Taxation. And those take on average 4 to 6 weeks to secure. So there's a whole host of preparedness that we're really trying to shed some light on here so that prospective sellers are not going to create havoc for prospective buyers. And you think about, how do you want to title the property? Do I really want to put somebody else's name on it? Do I really want to put it in an LLC? Because there are going to be ramifications and consequences to that action.
Yeah, 100%. You know, the other thing I see people trip up a lot on is probate stuff, you know, because we've got a mass majority of homeowners here in the United States that don't have wills. Mm-hmm. Right. And you really got to get this taken care of. You really got to see an estate attorney. Do you do estate work, Melissa?
We do handle some basic estate work and we'll refer something out if it's beyond the scope of what we're willing to do. Okay. But we do have an attorney here that specializes in some estate work.
If you had to give, and maybe you don't know this, it's just kind of just a question out from right field. If you had to give an estimate of like 1 out of 10 Americans, how many do you think do not have a proper estate in place?
So I've actually researched it before for class work that I've done, and the numbers are staggering. It's close to 70% that don't have an estate plan in place. And further, another concern, Emilio, that we see is people think they've avoided probate administration by creating joint tenancies. Check your deeds. Sometimes the deeds are omitting tenancy and the buyers never see it. I actually just, unfortunately, am in the throes of this right now. We were all the way to the place of trying to close, and we found out that the sellers who owned the property didn't own it joint. Unfortunately, the husband passed away in the fall, very recent, and now the wife is dealing with having to get the probate administration completed for, you know, moving forward with the administration of the sale. So it's often that things are mistakes and errors and issues that they didn't even see coming. Check your deeds. Make sure you have joint tenancy or tenants by the entirety if you're married.
Wow, that can be an absolute nightmare for your spouse or your children or literally anybody, because you never want to give the state access to your estate, right? You really don't.
Right.
And the probate process is arduous, right? It just stinks. And you know, again, you're just at the mercy of the courts, and it takes
with a will. The probate administration is so simple. Oh, truly. It's still time consuming, but it is more simple. Unfortunately, most people die without a will, so the probate process is inherently harder.
Yeah. Oh man. So needless to say, if you're listening and you need any real estate legal advice, okay, and you have questions or you need an estate attorney, we can definitely point you in the right direction, or Melissa can too. I want you to give her a call. Again, any real estate questions in Rhode Island, Mass, or Connecticut, she can help you out. Her team is unbelievable, really the best in the state. 401-885-3800. Again, 401-885-3800. Melissa gets a kick out of the fact that I remember that phone number. I can't even remember my own, right? It's just, that's how much we're calling her office. It's crazy. And Melissa, I think we've been doing business together for like a decade about, huh?
Yeah, a long time, 12 years probably.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, that's right, even longer. So needless to say, I mean, hundreds of my clients have trusted Delana Law. They're located right in the center of Rhode Island, right in East Greenwich on Main Street over there, right next to Dunkin' Donuts. And again, give her a call with any questions, 401-885-3800. Melissa, thanks very much for jumping on, talking about some of the pitfalls and snags that sellers get themselves into before closings. Good stuff. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Great stuff. This segment has been powered by Delana Law. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. And by the way, happy Mother's Day, Melissa.
Thank you.
I just got caught like singing, and my singing voice is, it's worse than your neighborhood karaoke, literally. So whatever. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. We've got Jennifer Jaber, a fantastic mother on the line with us, and she runs riblogger.com. Now, riblogger.com, if you have not checked it out, and if you are a mom or a dad, right, and you need something to do with these kids this spring, this summer, you're like, what do I do? Check it all out at riblogger.com. Jennifer and her team do a fantastic job of keeping us up to date with all the best, latest, and greatest events here in the Ocean State. Jen's here to talk about the top five events today. Jen, what's happening?
So the Courthouse Center for the Arts in Kingston on Friday, May 17th is the Joni Project from 7:30 to 9:30. And this is the Court and Spark 50th anniversary tribute to Joni Mitchell. So Joni Mitchell fans will love this one. The Joni Project formed as a tribute in sound and spirit to Joni Mitchell. And it's one of the greatest tribute bands around. So definitely, if you're a Joni Mitchell fan, you're going to want to check that out. And the Courthouse Center for the Arts is actually a really cool venue, too. It's really small, but it's intimate, so it's an awesome setting. Saturday, May 18th and 19th is the 8th annual Newport Oyster and Chowder Festival. And speaking of family-friendly, there's tons of events for kids there, too. It's at Bones Wharf from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And you can taste your way around the Ocean State, sip a refreshing cocktail, and enjoy oysters and chowder from local growers all weekend long. There's live music, delicious food, and all different kinds of cocktails and stuff for the kiddos too. This also sounds great because I happen to be a lover of chocolate. And so Sunday, May 19th is the Chocolate Expo at Bali Twin River from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The event features tastings of chocolates, baked goods, specialty foods, cheeses, craft beverages, along with entertainment all day and chocolate demonstrations. Sunday, May 19th is for the dogs. It's Pawpalooza Rockin' for Paws benefit for the Animal Rescue Rhode Island at Hometown Tavern in Warren. It's from 3 to 7. It's a family-friendly event as well, and it features music from two great bands, raffle prizes, a 50-50 drawing, and it's a free event, but obviously everyone's encouraged to bring a pet food donation.
Pawpalooza, Jen.
Pawpalooza, yes.
That's so cute. All right.
I know. Anything for the dogs, you know. And last but not least, Saturday, May 18th is the Springtime Stroll Craft and Vendor Fair at Phantom Farms in Cumberland. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There'll be local vendors, local artisans to meet and greet and shop from, and you can just enjoy a day on the farm and get some food and drinks.
I love it. Good stuff. And you can check it all out at riblogger.com. Again, if you haven't checked that website out, you are doing yourself a disjustice. riblogger.com. Check it out. And you can go ahead and post your events too, especially if you're a nonprofit or a business or whatever it is. There are thousands and thousands of people that see this website each and every day. Jennifer, thanks again. Happy Mom's Day.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You're welcome. You too. All right. Before we let you go, I want to give you a quick market recap here in Rhode Island specifically. I'm talking about single family homes. And if you're curious about your condo or multifamily or single family, give me a call, 401-359-2338. I can give you a home evaluation, let you know how long it's going to take to sell and what your bottom line number is. But specifically today, we're talking about single family homes. Now, listen, the good news for buyers is that single family homes are up, okay, about 43% in inventory since a couple months ago. Okay, so homes in a couple months ago, there was only 590 single family homes, the lowest that I've ever seen in inventory. And now we've got well over 800 and I think 845. And that includes the coming soon and active listings. Okay, so that's quite a bit. Homeowners, if your home is on the market, don't panic if you're now 25, 26, 30 days on the market, because guess what? Pending inventory, the amount of time it takes for a home to go pending, has more than tripled. Okay, so you're looking at about 30 days median time on market now to go pending. Okay, and the reason for that is the increase in the real estate, the mortgage rates. Okay, they went from 5.996% all the way up to, you know, say over 7.5%. They can change on a daily, weekly basis, but it's more expensive now to buy a home. It takes buyers more time. There's more inventory on the market. So if you are interested in getting on the market, you need to make sure that you are priced appropriately, prepared to sell, and have the right real estate team behind you. My team and I on the Despirito team with Engel & Volkers are here to guide you through that transaction. We've got full 5-star reviews from our clients, almost 200 reviews. We've helped clients sell everything from, you know, your starter homes to oceanfront wonderful estates. 401-359-2338, covering Rhode Island, Mass, and Connecticut, and can refer you anywhere across the globe. Thank you so much. Again, Emilio Despirito with the Despirito team at Engel & Volkers. What a fantastic show today. I'd like to first and foremost thank our producer, Ethan, you know, being here each and every week, making this show, you know, as great as he can. Good stuff. And by the way, we got a lot of great things coming in the works. We're building out our a studio at Engel & Volkers, and we're working on the sound quality here and video quality for anybody who watches, you know, our show on any of the social media platforms. Plug in Facebook.com, Despirito Team, or you can go to YouTube, catch us on iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Instagram. Make sure you're following us. But yeah, we got a lot of great things in the works. Also, Jennifer Jaber of riblogger.com, Matt Bates of Movement Mortgage, the rimortgageguy.com. Check them out. Melissa Delena of Delena Law, and Mark Hugo, our special guest today of Keystone Consulting Group. He's a commercial appraiser and does a fantastic job. So good stuff. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Emilio Despirito. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. God bless you. Enjoy your day, and we'll see you later. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.